Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. I remember a summer, maybe 20 some odd years ago, when the heat and the drought was very similar. And I remember in particular that as the summer went along, in the town that we were living in El Dorado, we had a big lake. And that lake was the primary source of water for not only our community, but many of the surrounding communities there. And over time, the lake just kind of slowly began to dry up. It never got completely dry, but it got down almost to nothing. And you began to hear stories of what was being found. You ever remember these things? There were old cars that just suddenly kind of showed up. There were tractors that had been driven into the lake. There was, you know, all kinds of interesting things that people were digging up and discovering. And the best stories were about the giant fish that people were pulling out of the lake. Because often when that happens and you get down low like that, the water, you can catch pretty large catfish and sometimes some other fish that have sat on the bottom for a long time. And I remember hearing the stories, and they would kind of expand as you would go. You know, the fish was 3 foot, then by the next time the person was telling it was 6 foot. And I remember one person saying there was a 21-foot catfish, you know, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then the newspaper finally kind of told the truth. And they'd show a few pictures, and there'd be someone there with a pretty good-sized catfish, not a catfish you'd want to run into while you're swimming or anything, but nothing quite as big as the story got. Isn't it kind of funny how we do that? We tell stories and we expand on the story when something amazing or interesting happens. And I think when Jesus enters his hometown, there have been lots of stories that had probably expanded about this person. You know, Jesus is going from place to place, and we heard, if you were able to come the last couple of weeks, of different miracles that Jesus had performed. And I would think in the communities, they would be talked about and heard about. And it would be growing and growing and growing. And so when Jesus walks into the town, they all say, "We know him. He's the carpenter's son. We know his brothers and his sisters, and we know his mom is. How could these things be said about him?" And maybe we forget that in the time of Jesus, whatever your father or your family trade was what your trade would be. It wasn't school or college or lots of options like there is today. If your father was a carpenter, you were most likely going to become a carpenter. If your father fished, you were going to become a fisherman. Not a fish. If you were enslaved or if you were in servanthood, you most likely would stay in that position. And also, people often didn't travel very far at all. And so, unless you got pulled into the military in some way, usually you might not leave a 2 or 3 mile radius your entire life. Which meant that this community of maybe a few hundred people where Jesus was from would have known him and his family intimately. And so when Jesus enters the town and along with him the rumors and stories, they are skeptical and cynical about his abilities. And there's something kind of interesting said. He could do no power there. He had no power there. He couldn't do much except he still went ahead and healed a few people. Kind of throw that in there. So he wasn't completely neutralized. But he had trouble, or he couldn't quite do the miracles in the same way. And then another sentence, and he was astonished at their unbelief. He was astonished that they didn't believe. The last several weeks, the stories have been about believing and having faith. Last week, we heard the story of Jairus' daughter and the woman who'd been sick for a long time, and in both cases, Jesus says, "Your faith, your belief, is what has healed you, is what has made you whole." When we go back each week and we hear the stories, this is often the case, but in this particular one, that's not what we hear. So maybe this story asks us a tough question. Are we too familiar with Jesus to believe? Do we know the story so well that we think, you know, we hear it week after week, we've been to Christmas after Christmas, Easter after Easter, we've studied scriptures in our life, and maybe when we hear the story, it doesn't really sink in, it seems more like a rumor, or we might dismiss it. Isn't that really what Jesus is kind of trying to get us to think about? When he goes to the place where he is the most familiar, where people would know the faith that he's talking about, would understand the God that he's speaking about, they are the most hardened to hear the message. They've become too comfortable with the Savior in their presence. And yet, we don't stop the gospel there. We keep going. And Jesus kind of moves on. He doesn't give up, and he goes from town to town, and he gets his disciples together, and he says, now, go out and take this message two by two to the communities, and don't take much with you. Just take a staff, and you know, don't take any bread, don't take money, just go, and where you can stay, stay, and if they don't want you, then move on. But baptize, and teach, and heal, and bring people into the faith. Jesus doesn't really give up because the people that he knew the best or that knew him the best don't quite see it. He continues his story and his message. And so maybe there's a call for us not to get too comfortable with our faith, but to be willing to be people of mission or people of discipleship in the world around us. What I mean by that is there's something that a lot of people talk about called the marks of mission. You'll probably hear a lot about this in the next few years in the Episcopal Church. Some of those marks of mission are things like, are you bringing new people into the faith? Are you reaching out to those who are poor or cast out? Are you willing to share from the abundance of your life and to make a difference in others' lives? Are you willing to work for justice where there is injustice? These are some of the things that people who look at the scriptures say that were characteristics of the disciples, of those who took the belief to their heart and to their soul and carried it into the world. And if you think about it, if you were to encounter someone that was really living in that way and you hadn't encountered it before, wouldn't you come to some kind of belief? Wouldn't you desire that? And I think this is what we often miss at those disciples who were leaving. They're like you and me. They're asking questions all the time. They don't always get it, you know. Why are we doing this? Where are we going? What do you mean by that story? Wait a minute. What do you mean again? I'm not sure about this. I need to touch and see. There's question after question. They're doubting. They're not always solid in their belief. They're not sure, and they're not always right. And yet, because of them, we can sit here and tell the story to each other. And we are called in much the way that they were called to go and to carry that mission, to carry that message into an unbelieving world around us. I often think when we hear these stories, we kind of don't think that our life is the missionary life. In other words, what I mean is we think that a missionary is someone who goes off overseas or goes to some other community, and they go, and they're far away. And yet, really, what it is carrying those kinds of ideas of mission, those ways of living, into the very places that we are. In other words, being a disciple, being a person of mission, being a person who's interested in doing those things, you know, helping others come to faith, helping the poor, working for justice where there's injustice, sharing from the abundance that we have, doing all those things are to happen in our everyday life. In the places where we are. It can happen at school, at work, in the neighborhood, at the mall. Wherever you go, there's an opportunity to carry that mission. You don't look like you believe me. Or you're a little nervous about what I might ask you to do this week. But isn't that really the call? To carry that mission into the places where we might go. That becomes the mark of our belief, the mark of our faith, the mark of our discipleship to the world. So really, for me, the question that I might ask you to think about this week is, where are you in this gospel story? Are you too comfortable with Jesus? Do you think you know him so well that you can't believe the stories anymore? Has it become too familiar that you need to recharge your faith? Or are you feeling called into that life of mission and service to carry the gospel, even with all the questions that you have and all the uncertainty, to carry the best of what you hear and see into the world about you? And to me, that's kind of what I hear at the heart of this particular gospel on this particular day, is that we are called to carry forth that mission. Sometimes we hear stories, don't we? We hear stories of churches who do it just right, or people who really get it. They're kind of like the fish stories that I told you about in the beginning. I'm a sucker for marketing. Do you know what I mean by that? I'll pick up a book and I'll read the book, and someone will tell this great story about how they've discovered the way to do preaching or something else like that. And I'll start reading it. And when I was first ordained, I'd pick up these books and I'm like, God, this is the way. This is what we need to do. And I'd make the vestry read the book, you know. And I haven't done that here too much. I kind of learned that I wasn't always real smart. And then I got real smart one time, and I went and I thought, well, I got to go see if the story is true. And then I went to the church and I found out, well, it's kind of like the churches I've been at before. They just really worked at something, and they really took it seriously. They weren't that different from us. But the story grew. The fish kept getting bigger. And the reality was there. I think sometimes when we look, we think that there's someone else who really gets discipleship, or they really have gotten it fully understood, or they're really digging in deep, or they're really doing the work that I ought to do. And sometimes we forget that we could be doing that. We might read a story of someone who travels to a faraway land and participates in a building mission or a medical mission, and we think, I could never do that. But then when you participate, the fish isn't quite as big, but the ministry and the mission is very real. And maybe it wasn't that hard to do. Or maybe we hear of some way that another church has fed 20,000 people or something, and we think we ought to be doing that. And then I told you the story about a church that I've interned before in Atlanta, and we went, and it started off with just a couple of people making sandwiches one day. And that's where it grew. Jesus needs us to believe, to have faith. And in believing and having faith and being willing to do that work two by two, the world comes to know his love and his kingdom. And so where are you? Are you a person who believes, or are you living in unbelief? Amen.